Well, I want to start out with this song. Hope you guys don't mind.
You singing?
Yeah. Is that all right?
Let's go for it, man.
You can back me up. Do wops back here if you want. You want me to turn that off for a minute? Because it might break it. How you guys doing?
All right.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's good seeing y'all.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Let's try this, okay? Yeah. All right. Called Chain Breaker. If you've been walking the same roads for miles and miles, you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's the way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. We all search for the light of day in the dead of night. And we all find ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We all run to things we just know ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you get lost, he's the way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom and saving, he's a prison breaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Woo! I know I was gonna mess up something.
Wonderful.
Let me tell you something. God's been good, hasn't he? I tell you, he's been good to me. I just praise the Lord. I just wanna open up with prayer because I need it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come before you. Lord, I ask that you take your word. And Lord, that you make, Lord, highways where there are no highways, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you will guide us in the ways and paths that you've called for us, Father. Yeah. Lord, your word is life unto us. Father, that we'll just grab a hold of it. And that, Lord, that you'll be glorified. By the power of Jesus' holy name, I ask all these things. And I bind you, Satan, from anything that you would come in, try to disturb, try to come in, try to take the word, try to come in and be who you want to be. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. And Lord, I ask for your angels to be around about us, Lord. For it's in your powerful, powerful name I ask all these things. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Woo! Well, if you guys got your Bible, I'm in Luke 5. And I came up with this this message. We were going to Texas. We just got back from Texas. How much time do I have?
Half an hour.
Oh, half hour. All right. See, that's good. You just pull me away if you need to. But so we get out to Texas, right? And we're at this prison, and because we're doing prison ministry, you know, and it's husbands and wives. The men are in prison. The women are outside. I don't know how you do that, but they were doing it. And we did a 3-day seminar with them, and God just showed up. I always say he shows up and he shows off. He ministered to those people. You know, because, you know, they can't go home with each other. All they can do is talk to each other, send letters, smell the letters, whatever, you know. And I said, man, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I don't think I could do that. Be married inside. Anyway, but guess what? They gave an example. They gave an example of a blind man. He would walk down these hallways following this one dude. Now, he's blind, okay, so he got the stick. And he's smacking the side, so he's following him, and he don't need to be held by the hand because, you know, he can feel his way through. So when you're blind, your senses kick in, different senses kick in. Your hearing starts kicking in better. Your feeling is better. Your eyesight isn't, of course. Taste, whatever. But one day he comes walking down the hall, but he was by himself. He's pushing his cart. He's banging the walls, but he's still going down the same corridor and stuff. So one thing they told him was, you don't have to be right there with each other, because you can hear things better. You can sense things better. You can feel things better. Not to say that they wouldn't want to, because, you know, you'd want to be with your wife or you want to be with your husband, right? And it made me so grateful for what I have. And so we went, we talked with them, we broke up into little groups and just asked them how they were doing, you know. Just being an ear to hear what's going on. And then we were able to pray for them and build them up in the Lord. And so, anyway, like I said, God showed up and showed off, and we loved it. It was one thing we'd never done before. I know Pam's done prison ministry for a long time. She's been in prison, too. But going to do something like that was something else. And God had his hand all over it. And these people, they go to 110 prisons in Texas, and they do this. They put 3-day seminars all the time. So anyways, while we were on our way, I got this message. I'm writing it little by little. You see my notes are kind of messy. But anyway, and this is what I come up with. So it's God's word. I don't twist it. And if he gives it to me, I'll give it to somebody else. Because if it helps me, I know it's going to help somebody else. So here we go. Luke 5, it says, one day Jesus was preaching on the shore, on the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed in on him to listen of the word of God. He noticed two empty boats in the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and was washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat on the boat, taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll just let down the nets. I'll go let them down. And at this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help to their other partners in the other boats. Then soon, both boats were filled and were on the verge of sinking. Then Simon Peter realized that he had What had happened? He fell to his knees figured out what happened. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck at the number of fish that he had caught, as the others with him were. His partners James and John and the sons of Zebedee were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Woo! Huh? What do you think about that? Huh?
I think the good one to follow.
You know, I've read this story before, but I never noticed something. I never noticed there was two boats there. I don't know why I didn't notice that, but the Lord pointed it out to me this time. And those two boats were sitting there because they were docked, because the guys were cleaning their nets, right? They said, "Man, then last night was so bad, we didn't catch a thing." They were probably depressed. They were upset. They were hungry, you know. And then here comes Jesus. Now, Jesus, he was good at this. Uh-oh, did I do something? I hit the button on the side, brother. I was going to start walking.
Yeah, put it in your pocket.
Okay. Whatever. So anyway, Jesus was known for this, right? Jesus was known for this. He was known to borrow stuff. Remember when he come up and there was a colt sitting there and it was tied up? He told his disciples, he said, "Go get that colt and bring it over here. And if anybody asks you, say the master has need of it." So Jesus was good at taking and borrowing stuff. He was good at this, taking this boat. He's out there, he's preaching. See, now I heard something about preaching from the boat. Do you know why he preached from the boat? Because the water reflects sound. So he had a great crowd of people, so it helps to project. And that's why I believe he preached in the mountainsides, because it was a place they could hear his voice. 5,000 people, plus their kids and their wives, right? So Jesus was good at this. It says, when we let Jesus, and here's the thing, when we let Jesus borrow our things, the effects that he brings can never pay off what we could do ourselves. So let's say Jesus tells you, hey, I want you to go over here and talk to this person over here, and I want you to lend a hand to him. Now he's borrowing you. Okay? He's borrowing you. He's borrowing your talent, your gift, or whatever. But Jesus is requiring something. He's asking you to do something. Just like he's asking Simon Peter to use his boat that he just got done catching no fish. And Jesus says, "Why don't you just..." So Jesus told Simon to push the boat off into deeper water. Now here's the thing about the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God, okay?
Yeah.
He was the living Word of God. It was just like, if you took this Word, it was Jesus walking around. And he'd speak everything from here. And it also says that Jesus never spoke anything of himself. He spoke what the Father told him to speak, and he did what the Father told him to do. That's why he was so successful.
Amen.
And you can be successful too. So Jesus says, push off the boat. There's got to be action. There's got to be action to the Word of God. See, we can be hearers of the Word and not ever do anything. We can come to church. We can sit down. We can punch our card. And then we can leave. But if you never react to it, if you never let it develop what God wants inside of you or outside of you, then it's never going to work for you. So, I can just imagine Peter when Jesus said this, just push off the deeper water. He said, what do you know about Jesus? Master, what do you know about fishing? Can you imagine? It's like somebody coming to me after I hung drywall all day and I run mud all night, let's just say. And I don't know, I didn't get as much up as I wanted to, or I didn't do as much as I could in my job. And I've got somebody who don't know nothing about construction. And he tells me, hey, you need to add some more screws over there. You need to put a little mud over there, a little bit more mud. But this is a fisherman. And he's telling Jesus, well, we ain't caught nothing, man. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm going to push my boat out again. But guess what? Faith, if you will. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
So Peter went. He did what the master said without knowing what was going to happen, right? He didn't know. He thought this was crazy. He thought Jesus was crazy. I could just imagine. I would have thought he was crazy. But Jesus knew what was going to happen. So what happened? He gets out. He responds to the word of God. He responds to what the Lord says. And he got the biggest catch ever. Because he let Jesus use his stuff. Because he took his skill of running that boat, or however you do, paddled it good. He took what he had and he let the master use it. And Jesus was preaching the word to these people that set him free. See, he said that when he was fighting with the devil, I don't say he was fighting, punching or nothing like that. He was using words. And the devil said, come up to him when he was being tempted. He said, man, the devil said, why don't you turn these rocks right here into bread? What'd Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? So Jesus was telling him, look, man, real living, this is what this is titled, true living. True living is when you start taking the word of God and you let it grow inside of you and you let it produce something inside of you.
Yes.
Amen. See, I used to let a lot of bad things be produced out of me. I used to let the devil run me.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be my daddy. That's what the Bible says. He's your daddy. He's the liar, the deceiver. And there, even people who get into witchcraft don't understand that the devil's running them too. They think they got power. But guess what? As a believer, it said, we'll tread upon serpents and scorpions. It said, all the power of the enemy. Not by our power, but by the power of Jesus. By the power of this word. So what happens? So Peter, in faith, he said, all right, man, I'm going to do what you ask. Push off. Biggest catch ever. What was the result of his obedience to God's word? It was a double blessing. A double blessing. Jesus was using one boat. He could have filled up one boat. That's what I thought happened before. But no, man, that's not the way God works. He pays off in doubles. His arithmetic is so much better than ours. He gives it all. See, God, he don't waste nothing. He don't waste nothing. Then in Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Huh? You know, he told Peter to do what when they needed money for taxes? Does anybody know?
It was in a fish's mouth, wasn't it?
That's right. He said, Peter, go down to the water and go fishing. He catches a fish and he had the money in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. So, This was the amazing part. This one thing got me. They were out all night. They were fishing. Didn't get a thing, but then Jesus comes along and tells them to go fishing again. They do, and they get some fish. That was money. That was what they needed to eat on too, probably for the family. Who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't know what all they needed it for. But this is the part that I just floors me. They had all that power, all that disappointment through the night. It's kind of like our lives. Sometimes we feel like we're living at the midnight hour. It's so dark, and we keep fighting, and we keep trying, and we keep doing, and we keep man, everything we're trying ain't working. Then along comes Jesus. He said, come follow me. I'll say, why do you want me? Well, he proved himself out to these boys, didn't he? He got to them because fishing was their business. That's what I was saying. I was like, I was thinking, you know, because at the end here, they give everything up, right? And I was like, man, if Jesus come and ask me for my Harley, I don't got a Harley right now, but I got a BTX 1800. I had some Harleys. But if Jesus came and asked me for my bike, which he has, and I gave it to him, it was hard for me at that time. But Jesus was just asking to borrow something. That's what he's asking us today. Hey, let me just borrow your tongue. Let me just borrow your arms, your feet. Let me just borrow you for a minute. And I'll turn your life to the best life you've ever known. My wife, Pam, you guys know her, right, Marvin?
Pam.
Devon, you know her. You guys seen her once or twice?
Yeah.
Huh? Have you know? You know what kind of woman she is, right?
Godly woman.
Well, let me tell you something. God took her life and turned it upside down. Turned it upside down when he came into her life. I told her, I said, when Jesus came into my life, he's like, turn on the light inside of me. All I could do is go back out and tell the kids on the playground. I wasn't that young. I was, I don't know, at least 12 years old. And I tell them about Jesus. They say, you going to be a priest? What are you going to be? I said, listen, I don't know what God's got for me, but whatever it is, I'm going to do it for him. I said, he loves you with everything he got. He died on that cross for you. He took a beating that no man could take on this earth. Jesus took it all for you and me. So, the same Jesus right here, telling the man to push off the boat. Go to the deeper. He always wants us to go deeper. He always wants us to get past ourselves. He wants us to get away from the safety of the shore. Well, you can fish off the shore if you want, but you might get them little bitty, bitty fish. Jesus said, go deeper. Deep sea fishing. They got a load and a half. But this is the part that got me. After they did all that, there's the boats full, ready to sink. And they decided to just drop everything. They dropped everything to follow Jesus. Dropped everything. Their livelihood, what they knew, the safety net, if you will, the job. You know, sometimes we rely on our job. Sometimes they're a safety net to us, and we rely on it so much, and we think, oh, how can I do it without this job? And God's saying, look, just give me some time with you. I'm going to teach you to be a fisher of men. One time, me and I had a motorcycle ministry for 13 years, and we were called Messiah's Misfits. Yeah, that's right, we're misfits. Because we didn't fit in the world, And we didn't fit with all the bikers too good. Because if we did, then we might as well be bikers, right? Bikers. We might as well be 1%ers and stuff. But guess what? I'm a 1%er for Jesus. So these girls, so I'm riding my bike. I packed everything on my bike. Everywhere I went, I had my bike packed down. I'm going to work. So I call our president. And I say, hey, man, what you doing? He was a trash dude. And I said, look, man, I'm getting ready to get off work. Come on, buddy, man, let's go for a ride. So I put on my leather, and it's hot out. He comes pulling up on his bike with his leather on. And the next thing you know, these two girls are coming out of the motel we're working on. And say, who you think you is? All bad? And I go, what? No, I'm not thinking we're bad. So look at you. I said, yeah. She goes, what? Who do you guys think you are? I said, we're fishers of men. She goes, what? You looking for some men? I said, no, yeah, yes and no. Not the way you're thinking. And I said, no, see, we love Jesus, right? Do you know Jesus? She, oh, well, and they start thinking, yeah, you know, I don't. I said, well, that's who we serve. They go, you guys? You guys serve Jesus? I said, yeah, we serve Jesus. Well, what's all that about? Because we had all kind of pins and shiny stuff, you know. I said, well, how do you attract fish? You put a little shiny lure, you throw it in the water, it dangles in the water, and the fish go right after it. I said, look at you two fish, just come right on up here and called us all kind of this and that. You see, we got you. No, Jesus got you. So then I started asking him, I said, so let me ask you a question. You say you know Jesus? Yeah. Is there anything you need prayer for? Ooh, then as soon as I said that, the one girl, she started crying. The power of God came right into that, right on that parking lot, the power of God fell. And that girl started weeping. She started bawling. And I said, thank you, Jesus. She's going to be touched by the Master today. She said, this is when AIDS was real popular. Well, I don't know if you call it popular, but it was prevalent.
Infamous.
And her cousin had AIDS, and he was dying. I said, is there anything? I said, you want us to pray for him? What do you want? She goes, yeah. And she's crying and sobbing. I said, all right, let's hold hands. Right there in the parking lot, right? I mean, with the two bikers and two ladies, and we're praying, asking Jesus to heal this cousin of hers. I said, we're not the healers. We're not the healers. Jesus is. We're just his, we're just owned by him. We're his messengers. Then the other girl, I asked her the same question, is there anything we could pray for you? And a tear rolled down her face. She goes, I used to go to church. I used to be happy. I used to love the Lord. I said, what happened? I just started doing other things. I said, well, let me tell you something. Jesus still loves you. He ain't never gone nowhere. He ain't gone nowhere. He's here right now.
Amen.
To reestablish that relationship that you walked away from. He never walked away from you. You walked away from him. I said, but we can reestablish it right now. See? It's kind of like Peter. We didn't have boats, but we had Harleys. You know? We used what we had. We used what we had for the Lord. And I'm still using what I have for the Lord.
Amen.
I ain't never gonna give up. Because let me tell you, there ain't nothing in Egypt for me. There ain't in nothing. I was a slave back then. I was a slave to the things that I was doing. I couldn't control myself when I started sinning. Bible says that when you can't even help yourself. But if we'll take Jesus and we'll listen to Him and you lend Him whatever you got, whatever talent, whatever gift that He's given you, and you use it for the kingdom, it's going to take your life from zero to hero. You'll be a hero to somebody. There's some little kid, maybe. There's a grandma. There's an aunt, uncle, an aunt that needs you. A friend that needs you. That needs to hear the word of God come out of you. But it's up to you. Will you go deeper with Jesus? Will you let Jesus tell you how it's done? That's the question tonight. You really want to live? Or you just want to exist? Huh? You really want to live? Or you want to do some things for the kingdom? You know, I never knew how good it was to serve Jesus. I guess I didn't read this part, did I? Sorry. I'll finish it off here. Maybe I did finish it. Did I finish it? He said he was a sinner.
Yep. Said he wasn't worthy to follow it.
Okay. Sorry. Well, here's the thing. Now Satan will come to you. He'll tell you you're nothing but a worthless sinner. You don't deserve God. You don't deserve the goodness of God. But guess what? The Lord died for us. He gave the most precious thing for us, and that was His life. He was perfect. I always say He was the perfect criminal. He was the most innocent criminal. Jesus was innocent. He was pure. He was holy. But He became our way out. So I would say tonight to you, if Jesus is asking you for something, He's asking you to take your life and turn it around, He'll bless your socks off. I'm not saying He's going to make you rich, but you're going to be rich inside.
Bless your socks off.
He's going to bless your socks off. He loves you so much. You know, He knows every hair on your head, even if you don't have any hair. He knows every tear that you cried. He knows every intimate detail from when. If you go to Psalms 139, it says He knows when I rise up. He knows when I'm lying down. He knows if I'm in the belly, if I'm in the pit of hell, and He knows wherever I'm at. He knitted us together. He knitted us together while we were in our mother's womb. He knew you intimately. That's why all this abortion stuff, man, it just hurts my heart. Because they're blessings from God. Anyway, I don't want to get on that. But what I wanted to say is that He knows you intimately.
Amen.
Closer than a brother. What greater love than a brother, a friend lay down their lives for you. And that's what He did. That's what He did. So tonight, it's up to you and me. If we want to give Jesus everything. Everything we're struggling with. Our jobs. Our security. Or whatever. And go deeper with Him. He'll bless your socks off. He paid off double here. About sunk the boats. He'll make you want to quit it all. Just say, forget it all. I don't need none of that. I just need Jesus.
Amen.
But he'll use what you have. So I pray you were blessed by this. He is the Almighty God and he loves you so much. I want you to bow your heads.
Chief.
Please, yes. Go ahead.
Before you close, please,
go ahead.
You said something so beautiful and profound.
Mm-hmm.
I was wanting to know if you can give us just a little explanation of it.
Okay.
You said there's nothing back in Egypt for me.
Yeah.
Yet.
Okay. You know, in Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, right? When Moses came to get the children out of Egypt, they had been in slavery for over 400 years. Okay. And God said, I'm going to deliver them. So I'm going to send Moses there. Moses came. He brought them out of Egypt. Now, here's the thing. When they got out in the desert, they kept murmuring and complaining. And they said, man, it was better back in Egypt. At least we had onions. At least we had spices. At least we had this and at least we had that. But they forgot what they had most of all was slavery.
Bondage.
So that's what I was talking about. There ain't nothing for me in Egypt. I don't care how much spices they got. I hope it's the same for you.
Amen.
Because they got slavery waiting back there for you.
Amen.
Satan wants to put chains back on every one of us.
Right.
He wants to rob, kill, and destroy us.
Yes.
He hates our guts because he knows the potential. If you receive Jesus in your life and he becomes the Lord of all, how much he can use you to change this world around. Look what he did with Peter. Peter was the one who denied Christ 3 times, remember?
Yes, sir.
Then what did Peter do? In the book of Acts, when they came out of the upper room, what happened? Peter led 3,000 to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit hit him. There's the power. The power of the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Not anybody else's. His Holy Spirit. So, That's it in a nutshell. We don't want to go back to slavery. And if you're in slavery now, you want to get set free, come up and see us. Come and talk to Marvin, Devon, pastor back here. But I want to pray for you right now.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that your spirit is here. I want to thank you, Lord, that nothing by shiny means can hurt us because your power is here. Lord, your delivering power, Lord. I don't know who's having problems with what, Lord, with addictions, with relationships, or with just the mundane of every day, Lord. I don't know. But God, I just put it in your hands right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you do your work in our lives and that, Lord, we'll say yes. We'll go deeper with you. We'll go deeper with you. If you said it, we're going to do it. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to each and every one of us tonight. Lord, and I break Satan's power in the name of Jesus. For you've given us the authority by your word. Your word declares it, Lord. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for each one of my brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord, that the word will grow inside them to truly live. To truly live. John 10:10. That you came to give life and life more abundantly. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.